Blog Talk Radio.
Ain't letting up relentless, I smell blood. I don't give a f- keep giving them hell.
back. Going on the record, Brother Elias, we got Yahweh from the tribe of Judah. Back at it once again, Brother Tobiah Ben Israel. You there, sir?
Locked and loaded.
Today's date is April 13th, 2015. I'll be back with another episode of Come Out of Her, My People. Brief hiatus. Take a little intermission. Call for the call. So we're back before you even had a chance to miss. Now, today's topic of discussion, no continuation from yesterday. Let the sounds do it for us. We don't cry tears. Now, we're speaking on two things that's going on in recent events, and if you don't mind, brother, we can continue down that path after this evening's proceedings, and just get things back in the bitch. You say pick up business right where I left off. And we were speaking on yesterday about Brother Walter Scott. And the brother hit me with some latest news that the individual who happened to be on site and have the recording device readily handy and produce the video may be in fear for his life. What you want to think? There's different things like that where you see things that happen, and it's, for me, it's just a matter of time before, you know, we were speaking on at the end of the broadcast about, you know, standing up for our people. What would you do if you were seeing that situation? Well, looky here, the individual who was reporting that document or tragic scene, now he has to fear for his life. And as you can see, this shooting is, it reflects a pattern, and we just want to make sure that the individual who was happened to be here and introduced the footage can be at peace and rest and don't have to be looking over his shoulder. And we understand the officer Slager, I believe his name was, there's many different officers out there, and he was talking about good cop, bad cop. Well, the good cop that's out there that actually look into the brotherhood a little deeper and understand that badge, that they really understood what they meant behind that badge. Good cop. To turn the bad cops in. That's a whole nother story. Another whole nother broadcast. But as we delve into today's topics of discussion, I see a few things that I want to briefly converse on. And these articles, some of them are quite disturbing, actually. Like I say, some of these news articles are, well, it's just that, news. And I got one article, and this one right here is just Ohio man who got cleared after murder charges, spent decades in prison. Now he's suing for wrongful imprisonment, and I believe that the two Ohio men will receive about $1.6 million. You think about decades in prison, wrongful imprisonment. Well, here it goes. The Ohio State Court claims that the judge ruled Riley Bridgman and his brother Kwame Ahamo will get a combined $1.6 million from the state. The ruling comes just weeks after Ricky Jackson, who was convicted for the 1975 murder, received roughly $1 million for his time served. You got Bridgman, Ajamo, and Jackson were all convicted for killing Cleveland, a Cleveland area money order salesman, one Harold Frank. Now, they were locked up after a 12-year-old boy testified that he saw the attack. The boy, one Eddie Vernon, recanted his story, testimony years later, and told the authorities that he actually never witnessed the assault, and there was no evidence linking Jackson to the killing. Bridgman was freed soon after Jackson, after the charges were dismissed last November. Now, although Bridgman had first been freed in 2002, his imprisonment, again, probation violation. So, a Cleveland judge in December dropped all charges versus Adamo, who spent 27 years in jail before having his death sentence commuted and being freed in 2003. His death sentence. The 39 years that Jackson spent in jail was the longest time a prisoner has ever been waited and exonerated under the Innocent Project in the state of Ohio, according to the county.
Stop writing that, please.
Excuse me. With that, wrongful imprisonment is just like, you see these types of situations going on. I mean, if we're not getting targeted and locked up for trumped up charges and ridiculous crimes and being sentenced to unreasonable amount of time of labor, we're getting shot, drug pulled in the streets. It's a time though where we got to wake up and realize what's going on around us. I mean, if you don't realize that it's predator and prey, and we're being preyed upon, it's like the street justice. I think about the brothers and sisters and some of those hoods that the police can't even go into. And those type of places make a brother think, like, yeah, from the outside looking in, you might think that the people on the inside aren't, how you would say, well united. Well, come to find out, it's hoods like this where the unity inside of the community, for a lack of better terms, even though for some, I think it's for the bad, is that type of protection that keeps us safe. I know you're on the road. You got anything you'd like to ask thus far, sir?
So, man, I'm sticking to the launch pad, man. But yes, sir. You know, we've been saying for quite some time that it's time for our people as a collective to really comprehend what's going on around us, but at this particular point of time, if you don't see it, you probably won't. But if you don't, you won't see it. So it's really up to the real world to prepare their offspring, prepare themselves for what seems to be a change. It's just like you're back in the 60s all over again. And a lot of times, the things that are least spoken about are the things that are happening with those nooses. And people are still getting hung with nooses. Not necessarily by individual or angry white people, per se. But they're still getting hung. They're still getting lynched. You're seeing the brothers and the sisters getting beat in the street, shot in the street. There's really only one remedy for this, and it's a renewal of our minds, man, and waking up out of that slumber. And what's the name of that disease? Stockholm's disease? Well, you fool enough to say slavery was a long time ago. I ain't saying all that. Man, them folks ain't never did nothing to me. We shouldn't worry about the past, this, that, and the other. But history repeats itself. And it's clear in everything we face. It's clear in present day. Right now. Imagine. Most of us have been just stopped anyway. I mean, think about when you were younger. Think about when you were younger, you ride with your partner. And y'all in that old school. You just about get pulled over every time you come down the block. How that made you feel. Granted, 9 times out of 10, we were dirty anyway. But still, you were doing the speed limit. You were doing everything you were supposed to do. But you were being profiled. It was better than you. But now imagine when this individual not doing nothing, not doing anything, but getting executed publicly. Getting choked, getting beat. Getting burned. What that sound like? That sound like them back in the days, what you said you wouldn't worry about no more. That happened a long time ago. Right here on the page now. The question is, what are you going to do? Is that to say that? You go, you take up arms and you cut the damn fool? Nah. What we're saying is, you got little boys, you got little girls that look like you and look like me, you better start training. They need to know how to act, how to conduct themselves. And in the meantime, what we need to be doing is coming together, producing our own institutions, that they don't have to deal with nobody outside of us like that. So we're in that kind of thing. That's the first line of the pitch. They say we start our own institutions, schools, neighborhoods, these things, right? When you have a sense of ownership, common language ownership or something, the first time you violate it, you go really fast. You will dispense justice swiftly. You don't care about the consequences. But you got to first have some type of ownership, some kind of control for what you're trying to protect. That's where we should be. Moving to, at least. Not this talk, not this lip service, not this saying, yeah, we're going to set it up, or yeah, I'm almost done with it. You need to be doing it. That I hear.
Already. Reduce our own, sell our own, make our own. Huh. Damn, you're talking. I already know, bro. I hear you. Check this out, though. I don't know if you'd be. I've seen this thing, this brawl, in the Walmart parking lot, man. And, man, I saw this thing today, man, on my lunch break at the Joe, this individual partner of mine. He was watching this thing, I guess it was on, I don't know, Facebook, Twitter, one of those social media sites. And basically, there was a brawl in the Walmart parking lot between family and police. And the reason why I got in on it was because, you know me, I kind of ask ridiculous questions, but he was telling me the family was camping out in the parking lot and, like, police came and they were messing with them or whatever. And I just didn't understand. I'm like, cause, you know, you got those different sales or whatever, like Black Friday. You got people camping out in the parking lot for, like, weeks, months at a time or whatever. So I'm like, man, I don't understand that. So when I got to the domicile, man, I looked that thing up. And it was it's like 8 minutes long, bro. It's this brawl between the Christian family, Dan, and the police. This happened in Arizona.
You said a Christian family of band.
A Christian family band.
And the
police in the Arizona Walmart parking lot. Now, understand, if you ever get a chance to watch this video, brother, you'll see tasers, pepper spray, I'm talking batons, the whole nine. It was an all-out, I mean, this is for real. And basically, the fighting only stopped. You already know. Only after one of the Gabber family members was shot. This was a 21-year-old. And his brother was also struck in the stomach. And one of the cops took a bullet to the leg. Like I say, this melee broke out March 21st. Just seeing this footage now here recently, so bear with me. And 8 officers responded to a report that one of the Gabber family members who had been living out of their car in the parking lot had pushed a Walmart employee in the store bathroom. So when the police tried to separate the family band for questioning, nah, they weren't having it. They attacked the Cottonwood Police Chief, Jody Fanning. Punches flew as officers and Gabbers got knocked to the ground. You can see why one of the officers get put in the headlock. And you seen the Gabbers start hitting the police and torching. Then he got put in one of them headlocks, bro. Now I'm talking about straight up wrestling. They start putting knuckles on him. And they got all that protective gear on in the stomach. So, you know what I'm saying? I understand. They weren't trying to hit him in the chest or nothing, you know? I'm talking straight face, eyes, ears, and mouth. And throughout the fight, you hear screams, "Get down, get off me." You got a few cops. I mean, it's like 8 of these family members. And basically, I mean, what I saw on TV, man, I ain't never seen that like this, bro. But, like, these Caucasoids, man, they weren't having it. And this, while I'm speaking on it, it's sort of like when we were speaking on that, when they try to rattle up them cattle over there on the farmer's ranch, they try to take this cattle. And them boys showed up with them cage and them things. And they say, "All right, well, come on and get them then." And then they turn around and went the other way. Now they ain't want to get them. They ain't want to get them that bad. And from what I'm seeing here is even though they were being hit by tasers and batons, they weren't trying to separate the family. So you got a Walmart, one of those crime scene, you know, the little Walmart crime preventive 3-0. He ain't 5-0, little 3-0. He tried to get into it. Man, they beat the brakes off of this dude, man. And you see, at one point, where one of the Daniel brothers, the Enoch Dollar, got on top of the police sergeant, and they were struggling on the ground. Buddy reached for his handgun, and that's when you got another officer just kicking him in the head. I mean, I just think it's real brutal, man. I don't want to just, you know, say like I'm going into all the graphic details, but like I said, they eventually surrendered, said, told the police, man, you're being a Nazi. And they all surrendered. You got the ages of Peter Gaver, 55 years old, Ruth Gaver, 52. Your son's Jeremiah, 29, David, 29. You got 15-year-old, 11-year-old. I mean, straight up, one of the brothers died. He got shot. But this family is from Boise, Idaho, and they formed a band called Matthew 24 and refers to the second coming of Christ, and they perform in front of grocery stores. You know, they're homeless. It's just, what you got, man? Yeah,
that's,
you got
anything? Man, that sounds like, I forget the name of it.
What is it?
But you've been around Kentucky.
No, you're going to have to learn,
Virginia,
no.
Man,
nobody got to
see you. In the war.
No.
With the McCoy and somebody. That's what that sounds like to me. You got couples are really just going in. But at the end of the day, man, they just go to show. We do not up. That's the secret of magic. Even everybody that's the secret of magic. And not one time did I have to go to the couples are that you were talking about. Until you made mention of when they went over there trying to take their man land. And all the folks showed up. They just home on you right here with the main cave. And made them folks stand down and leave you. But here's the trick to that. Now, they're heroes. But when our people did, the domestic terrorists, you had 28 counselors killed just because they sought out to protect their own neighborhood and enforce the constitutional rights of our people. They eventually being hunted down and saw it as a threat of national security. But this cops all out there in Texas, wherever it was, he got people coming across state lines to get with him. And he a hero. What's wrong with that thing? You know, you got DMX on Billy. They villainize him. Yeah. They make a hero out of Jason Statham. What's his name? Statham. He just ride around kicking folks. He just putting hands on folks driving through the rain. But that's cool. That's not preventing violence. That's just action. There's nothing wrong with that. He ride around just putting them hands on folks. That's what I got on that, brother. It's a pretty double standard.
Yeah, and that's where we, you know, we're talking about being the face of America. Soon, you know, for lack of better words, the black man do it. Damn, you all on the front page of the TV news. I mean, it's ridiculous how they ridicule us and make us the poster child for things that, what you say, how for this country that's been doing since the beginning of time, since the existence. I mean, we were talking about the slavery, and then we had the World History Month, and we stunted on them. Just thinking about what they taught us, how we were slaves, and they never really gave us our proper history and our understanding. And then the thing, you're waiting for somebody to give it to you. Hell. Gotta get up, get out, get something. And for us, when we speak on these things, it's for awareness. Let our people know that we see what's going on, that we're aware of it. But you have to be aware of your surroundings. You gotta understand what's going on around you. I mean, different experiments and scenarios and what have you go on daily. So to think that they're gonna stop now, it's just, for me, I plan for the worst, hope for the best. Either way you look at it, I'm ready for whatever. And for me, there's the only way that you can do for you. Look at this right here, man. What? I'm looking at I got to read this right quick. This is trying to get deep. I'm up on that link you sent me earlier. I think it's blackbluedog.com. The black people that liberals don't want to talk about. We're going to talk about it. This Cleveland baby was shot dead by a 3-year-old, man. And I was just scrolling through. Listen, you got a 1-year-old Cleveland boy who died Sunday with a gunshot to the face. All praise to you, man. This is unreal. Investigators suspect another child, a 3-year-old. He had fired a fatal round after discovering a handgun inside the house. Very sad day for Cleveland police. Chief Calvin Williams, he told reporters outside the house, a 1-year-old child just lost their life today. Sad day for Cleveland. Cops are still trying to figure out how the 3-year-old got a hold of the gun. But the deadly weapon was apparently unattended. Now, later identified the dead child as Slayton Robinson and said at least one adult was home at the time of the fatal shoot. The names of the boy's parents were not released immediately, but Williams promised adults will be held accountable. The somber chief blasted at the gun culture in the Midwestern city and across the nation. This is a senseless life, a loss of life for the city. And again, it's directly related to guns. We really need to take a hard look at things that we're doing out there on the state, local, and national level. And we need to get some of these guns out of our community because nothing good is ever going to happen. Now, I was getting ready to, I'm at a loss for words. Makes you want to think about how to do that. The young individual find a gun inside the house, you know. Supposed to keep those things locked up, man. So I, too, will have to hold the parents accountable and responsible for the life of the young man, the baby, actually. And man, give me a brief second, bro.
Until the philosophy, which old one race superior and another inferior, is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes. Miss a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. It is a war that until that day the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality will remain in but a fleeting illusion to be pursued but never attained. Now everywhere is war. War. And until the ignoble and unhappy regime that holds our brothers in Angola, in Mozambique, South Africa, subhuman bondage, have been toppled, totally destroyed. Well, everywhere is war. War in the east, war in the west, war up north, war down south, war, war, rumors of a war, and until that day, the African continent will not know peace. We find it necessary, and we know we shall win, as we are confident in the victory of good over evil. Good over evil, yeah. Good over
back. 20 minutes to the top of the hour. We will usher back in with the dear belated brother Bob Marley and that shot at glass. We were speaking on some tragedies before the brief break. And there are so many things that's going on out there that we oftentimes do not give it its proper attention. And we, the nation, we did a show on Sunday once, and forgive me if I misspoke, but I think it was called Wherever the Carcass Is, there the eagles shall be gathered together. Now, we see off top what happens to our brothers and sisters at the hands of these Caucasians. But think of this. I bought an edition of The Final Call Sunday on the flea market. I was going through it, and it's reported that a Kenyan official reports Chinese eatery that barred Africans closed. Now, we know that we are different in Africa. Same skin, a lot of times same hair, different blood. But the point I'm making here, how in the world can anybody go into Africa and tell them folks they can't eat at an establishment after 5 o'clock? That's their land. That's ridiculous. It's immoral. But come to find out, the proprietor of the eatery, he ended up being closed down because he didn't even have a kitchen. He wasn't conforming with the health regulations for a restaurant. He ended up being closed down anyway. And that serves him right. But his argument was that his patrons didn't feel comfortable with Africans being in the eatery because there was no way of telling if they were members of Al-Shabaab or not. In America, they would take that Chinese man down to the water. He would be facing so many lawsuits about that he would never be able to open back up in another 100 years. He owed everybody. The point I'm making is, when you act in a savage condition, when you have no say-so on your own account or anything that has to do with you, others will come in and govern you for you. Not saying that this eatery is a form of government, but he's feeding you. But you're spending your money there. But you have no say so. You can't come in the evening hours to eat in your own land. So now you think of these folks out in your own neighborhood.
What happened, Kyle?
Your children getting carried out of school in their own neighborhood. By who? We're not saying that every Caucasian is your enemy. But one thing we are saying is there's been a war since at least 66 to 70 AD. And these Roman legions are still live in effect, just by different names. But the only difference is they train. They have a regiment.
Uh-huh.
Even if they're not officially a part of a police force, they train. Some of them train to be ready against a government that they feel betrays them for giving us too many rights. Others train against bad government. The other percentage are the legionnaires, the alphabet boys, the police officers, the government agents. But what do we do?
Hell, we won't even try to eat right. Let alone talking about running around the block. Yeah, I run around the block, I get these keys and pull it out around up. Like that, we're not thinking about hand-to-hand combat. See, when I say that, you automatically thinking of, like, being on a battlefield. Your mind is taking you into fantasy. I'm talking about when you don't have the strength to defend your woman and your child. Just in the mall. Just walking around town. This doesn't mean that you look for an incident, an altercation, but you sure better be ready. I remember seeing the movie Lakeview Terrace with Samuel L. Jackson in it, and they ridiculed him about how he was low down in the movie, but he had a point. He said, we do what we do just in case such and such doesn't have the strength to defend you.
We don't know.
No. He said he doesn't have the energy. What could that mean? From my take on it, looking at the individual he was talking about, this individual don't care nothing about trying to put hands on nobody at all, by any means. He's talking about having the knowledge to know that you're under threat. You can't be ready if you don't know you're at war. You can't be ready if you have no desire to protect your own. There's no reason to fear. Quite naturally, through the hundreds of years of the natural history, there's going to be some living fear in our DNA. But what has to be comprehended is, will you let your fear dictate your preparedness? Will your fear dictate the amount of love you have for your own?
That's
a question, Doug. We need to take a deep look inside and answer. It could be only one answer, but I'm sure we waver there. Because everybody in a certain type of illness, a certain type of stress, you either, when your body, when your brain tells, when your body, when your brain lets that adrenaline go, two things are going to happen, fight or flight. Fight or flight. But your love should dictate what you do under stress, especially when it's comes to your own. But you got to love self first, and the brother mentioned that we don't even know who we are. They kept that from us, but yet and still, we're still looking for them to tell us who we are. We've accepted who they said we were. Hell, you believe that you were running around naked in a jungle? Really? You believe you couldn't read? Granted, through time, our grandparents ended up not being able to read. But when we got here, we were more than readers. We were your architects, your lawyers, your judges, your accountants, your bankers, all that here in this land, but not allowed to function in law. Then they disconnected the families learn from the old so that that knowledge could not be passed down, then you begin to lose your heritage, as Jeremiah said. From there, you're in a situation that you're hungry, you need clothing. You ain't got time to go to school because your love said, I need to provide. Damn them books. I would love to learn, but them babies crying. Them babies want some food. Them books long term, they need to eat now. So we went to work. Where that spirit now? Here. How you, bro?
Man, yeah, bro. Hey, just real before we shut it down for the evening, man. I remember one time you brought forth an article where there was a brother who paid and overpaid his child support, and he basically lost all his rights and he got put in the bank for that. You remember that, man?
Yeah, he paid too much, right?
Yeah, he overpaid his child support.
Mm-hmm. He violated the terms of the contract. He
He did too much for his offspring. So he was in violation of the terms and agreements of the contract. Well, real briefly on another note, you had mentioned a few things about some schools and a couple of things when the last little piece that you brought forth, brother. And it made me think, I'm not sure if you remember this, but this woman, a mother, gets 12 years in prison for sending her child to the wrong school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yeah,
man.
What?
Hey, I guess you sent her child to the wrong school, bro.
And she did how many?
She got, man, 12, man. 12 of them things, bro. Man, check this out, man. Man, bro. Hey, if you're looking for a strange brand of justice, then you might have found it. The mother's name was Tanya McDowell, Connecticut mother, and she was accused of sending her child to a school that was outside of the home district. Now, for this, she's been sentenced to 12 years in prison. The mother pleaded guilty to fraudulently enrolling her young son in the school in the Norwalk district. Now, Norwalk, Connecticut, man, I'm familiar with that, man. You know, I'm from up New York, man. Norwalk, Stamford, Greenwich, Bridgeport. And I'm familiar with these areas, man. So, wow. And she got her son in the school in the Norwalk district, and she was accused of stealing $15,000 worth of educational services. $15,000 worth of educational services. And the mother was sentenced to 12 years total and is suspended after 5, and they're going to have to pay back $6,200 in restitution to the city of Norwalk. The sentence also includes 4 counts of drug possession and distribution. At the time of the incident, McDowell was homeless. Police claimed that she was using her babysitter's address to keep her child enrolled in the kindergarten in Norwalk, when she was supposed to be using schools in Bridgeport. See what I'm saying? Which are far lower quality. See, I already know where this was going. I'm familiar with this area firsthand. So, so she got her daughter where her son enrolled in a different district. So, you know, because all the schools are equal. But Donald Crozman, McDowell's attorney, says that she's the biggest loser in it all is his son, who no longer has a mother around to raise him. That's the sad part. Now, the grandmother is going to do her best trying to raise him. But you understand the measure. In case Tyler McDowell serves the microcosm of all reasons the justice system is designed to create a society that is unsafe and oppressive for racially segregated. After hundreds of years of hoarding wealth that was not made available to blacks, whites are now able to afford shiny new schools with plenty of supplies, giving their kids a higher quality education. Millions of others, mostly black and brown people, are relegated to lower quality schools where overworked, underpaid teachers don't have enough books. When we quietly endure our oppression, Would you say that's Stockholm? Yeah, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And ask the government for help in achieving education equality. We are accused for asking for a handout. But when mothers like Tanya take matters into their own hands in order to give their kids a better education and a better life, they are incarcerated for stealing something that should have rightfully belonged to their kids in the first stand place. I spoke to Tanya McDowell 2 years ago when the first case emerged. And it goes on to read, man, I'm going to stop right there. We're low on time. But the article, like I said, blackbulldog.com, where the most black people, the liberals, don't want to talk about it. But you got your brother, Tobias Ben Israel, Lion Yahoo, ready to chop it up. We ain't scared. And we got to let this thing be heard. Let the people know that we hear you. We out here for real. We in these streets for real. And best way to do it is keep your boots on the ground. Pass it to you out. You got anything you want to say, close out, before I bless the people?
No, sir. Bless up.
Already. Well, with that being, like I said, thank you for partaking. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel, Blazing the Streets. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Shalom.
Shalom.
Let us pray. Father God, I am just learning how to pray. Bear with me. First, I thank you for the life of everyone that's here with me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I thank you for the love you give me. Why?
Come on.
I don't know. I don't deserve it. And it hurts inside. Many a nights I cried and called your name out loud. I didn't call you when I was doing good. Too proud. And still you gave me love. I wasn't used to that. Most of the people that gave me love, they ended up taking it back. It's something new to me. So I'm asking you for time to adjust. Let me make it there. I will be one you can trust. What I stand for, I put my life on. I do. I guess what I'm asking is, show me how to stand for you. And I will rap for you, sing for you, preach for you, teach for you, reach for you. I will love you like you love me, unconditionally. And I will always be prepared for whatever the mission will be. Give the nutrition to me, and I'll properly digest it. When I give it back, I'll show you word well invested. And whenever I go, before I go, let me give. Thanks to you, Lord, for my birth, for every day that I've lived. You gave me a love most of my life I didn't know was there. In the name of Jesus, I give you my life. Because you can.
Amen.
man.